Yes.
Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the stuff that's gone on in Mac. I'm sorry we weren't here last week, but we had a bit of a catastrophe with guests at the last minute, and a few people dropped out, and I was tired, and it just like perfect storm. We're back. We're on Fridays. See, I did tell you, I promised you before Christmas, all the shows are on Fridays, and if they're not on Fridays, they're not happening. So last week, we didn't do a show on Friday, so it didn't happen. I stuck to my word. You can't tell me I didn't. We've had a couple of reviews as well. I'll need to read those out later, but one person did say the sporadic posting of these shows is a bit of a letdown, and I couldn't agree more, mate. Couldn't agree more. I do apologise for that, but work gets in the way. This is a hobby. No one pays me to do it, so I'm afraid it comes out whenever we get the chance. I do apologise. Joining me, absolutely unreal panel. Top left, after a big hiatus from the network, Doc.
Yes. This. Yeah. I can't even think right now. That's called Christmas season in retail. It happens, but I'm back.
What was the most interesting thing you made?
Actually, I had some gunny sergeant from the United States Marine Corps who was stationed out here. He was retiring, and his lads got together, and they wanted to make a custom trophy. And we sat around, and we thought about all the things that represented him, and I hand-built a custom trophy from a piece of 3-inch walnut. It was about like 16 by 12, and it had a Spartan warrior statue, a bunch of his medals and stuff on, and, you know, a nice inscription to him. And on the back, they took a piss out of him. So you look at it, it's this nice, elegant looking statue. When you flip it over, it has all kind of like dumb stuff that they said to him. Now that the boss was leaving, they could talk smack about him. So it was really cool. And I'm pretty sure we made a grizzled Marine Corps veteran cry.
Yeah, good on you. That's nice. The thing to do, like that. How much to charge him?
Nothing really. It's nothing. Basically the, yeah, well, because I'm a vet too, and, you know, the story's kind of got to me, so.
I thought you were going to say that you gave him a price tag that made all his mates cry.
No.
Did you have a good Christmas, mate?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Had a great time. It's a funny story real quick. I got a Mavic Spark. No, I got a Spark for Christmas. I flew it like twice, and then I went to the store to buy some extra propellers and stuff just to be ready. And then I called the old lady and say, hey, can I upgrade this to a Spark? And she says, your money, I don't care. And I was cool. So I upgraded to a Spark, got the Spark combo. And I can't believe I put off flying drones for the longest time. It is so much fun.
Haven't you got that the wrong way around? Isn't the Spark the small one?
No, I got the Mavic Air now. Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, you upgraded. I bought
a bigger one.
Yeah, got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
And have you flown it 7 kilometers away that it's supposed to reach?
I went about as far as one, and then I was like, I can't see anymore, so I'm gonna turn it back around.
Mate, you can't see the Mavic at the end of your garden. It's a tiny little thing.
No, the radio started twitching because Patrice can tell you down here there's a bunch of towers, and they all have radio antennas on the top. So it starts like freaking out, but I'm sure if I go out in the countryside, I can probably do it. But like on the beach down here, there's way too many hotels or radio stations in the building. So it started twitching and I got scared.
A lot of Wi-Fi as well. If you did it in the mountains, it would be awesome, I think.
Oh, nice. I can't wait to try it some more though. I've literally been going almost every day. It's super, super fun.
Good. Enjoy, mate. Next to him, it's Jeff. How was your Christmas, mate?
It was really nice. And I'm sorry that none of you were there to spend it with me because we would have had a blast.
Yes, we would.
Yeah. Played in the mountains, and mountain roller coasters are a lot of fun. And getting to do one in the snow on Christmas Day was pretty awesome.
A mountain roller coaster. So a roller coaster built in the mountain, or are you talking about driving on the roads?
Roller coaster built in the mountains.
Oh, right. Cool. Good views then.
Yeah. And they go fast.
Good.
Don't they have one in the UK? It's like a concrete track with a cart that goes really, really fast, and you sit on it, and it's like having a toboggan or a luge, but you don't need ice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. We might have.
This one, it's actually two tubular rails, and so the cart is attached to the rails.
I've seen those in Europe, all over Europe, so I'm almost certain somewhere in the UK there's something like that.
Yeah, no, you have little brake handles on them.
You gotta try it. So you gotta take Ellis. You can
control the speed. The trick is push the handles all the way forward so you've completely disengaged the brakes and hold them in that position the entire time.
Whilst filling your pants.
It's awesome.
We've got in the Welsh mountains, we've got a zip line that you can fly down. That looks really cool, but there's an 18 stone weight limit, which I'm not. So I can't do it, but you climb on it and you can lie flat in it as well. So you can do like Superman and then they just shove you and it's like a kilometer long zip wire.
Massive. Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, through the Welsh mountains.
So. It's called Zip World Forest, Ewan, somewhere in the UK.
Right, okay. That's it. I want to do it, but I need to lose another few stone yet. So.
Sounds great.
It's what? Is there no sitting thing? Oh, right, okay. So head injuries akimbo. and last, Patrice, how are you, mate?
Oh, doing very well. We had the other kind of mountain, like mountain sliding. At least a little bit up north here over New Year's Eve. It was snowing and like ice and everything. And obviously people here are not prepared for that.
I was going to say, how was Christmas in the desert?
Oh, it was like overall, it was colder than expected. Also hasn't been this cold for over 10 years. So that was kind of surprising for me. But it was good. Like didn't do much. I just basically relaxed and worked on some side stuff and yeah, didn't do much. Cool.
Sorry for my message. Do apologize.
That was me.
The week, was it? No, it was me. Oh, you sent me the message. Right, got you. the week in Apple, all the stuff that's gone on. I thought it'd be quite interesting to start with an anniversary. What do you think? Who's got an anniversary today?
Today is January the 11th.
And it's 11. The 14th iPhone. Anniversary, 14th anniversary.
14.
Of the first generation iPod Shuffle.
Shuttle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So nice. Today marks the 14th anniversary of the unveiling of the first gen iPod Shuffle. This was when, do you remember they used to say, right, how many CDs you could get in your Shuffle? That was the measure.
Oh my God, that's right.
Do you remember in the days when you used to do filing cabinets for CDs? And you got a picture of Bill Gates sat on top of a million filing cabinets or something, and then...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and this was the one where it says you could get this many CDs, and there was a big stack of CDs that you could get into a Shuffle. Like 10. You could get...
Which was amazing.
Yeah,
at
yeah.
Yeah. At that time, yeah.
240 songs if you bought the 1 gig model. That was it. And it was it launched at Macworld? Yeah, Macworld. On January the 11th.
Yeah, and nowadays you can put 240 songs on your toaster probably or something.
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's loads more. I mean, there was a 512 megabyte model at the low end at $99 and then 120 songs or 250 songs on the 1 gig version at $149.
Mine is still around here somewhere. I doubt that it works. But yeah, I still have it. The gum stick thing was just such an incredible, you know, concept at the time. Like, cause everything was so much bigger.
Yeah. It was, it was the first kind of flash music player, wasn't it? Cause all the rest had spinning media in. The iPod had spinning media, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't solid state. Yep. So at that point.
It was a hard drive.
Yeah. So there you go. It's 14 years old today. It's as old as my son. Well, no, bit younger, but not much.
Mm-hmm.
I never had one.
Neither did I. I've never owned even an iPod. Like none.
Yeah, I had the next gen Shuffle, and I had the iPod Nano, the one that had the recoil because it was spontaneously combusting.
Oh yeah, I had two of those.
One. I've still got two of them.
Yeah, Apple replaced both of mine.
Well, I'm wondering, I'm going to keep mine. I'm going to take mine in for when Apple replaced mine for a new iPhone or something. Because they haven't got a Shuffle anymore.
The funniest story about a Shuffle, I was working at Apple, and these had been out for about 3 years. And this guy comes in, and he looks like he's a caber tosser. Like, this guy was huge, right? Muscles ripping out of everywhere. He comes in, he's super angry. He's like, man, I have this thing, and this is like my third one, and they keep dying. And for some reason, it doesn't work. And I'm right in the middle of my workout. And he's like, you know, you can see his shirt's obviously wet from being at the gym. And so he takes it off because they had that little thing on your neck and you just pop it off like that to plug it into the computer.
Yeah.
He hands it to me and I turn it upside down and the sweat comes pouring out of it. I turned it upside down to look at the back to get the serial number and literally the sweat comes pouring out of it. And I was like, dude, this is so gross. Like, I was like, the reason why it doesn't work, you meathead, is because it's dripping wet with sweat. You got to like figure out how to cover the damn thing up. And he didn't even take umbrage to me calling him a meathead. He was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, hold on, wait. So I rolled in the back, and there was this company that had these silicone covers that you could put around them to keep you from banging them all up. And I was like, just try this and see if it works. So I gave him a new one, and he comes back like 2 weeks later. Dude, it's still working. It was super funny. He turns out to be the nicest guy in the world. But after I was done, my friends looked at me and was like, did you just call that guy a meathead? I was like, yeah, maybe. But it was just super funny.
Well, you didn't get upset, so it's valid.
Yeah.
Right, that's the nice stories out of the way then. Let's go to the tough ones. Apple CEO Tim Cook calls report that iPhone XR is a flop. Bologna. What on earth is Bologna apart from a town in Italy?
It's a meat.
What he really means is bologna,
right? But yeah. Why would you
it's an American colloquialism for bullshit.
No, I know what bologna is, but bologna's bologna's a polite word, so why would you replace bologna with Bologna?
Oh, is that what he actually said?
Is he suggesting that the Bologna visiting authority, you know, the tourism authority there, is a bit of a flop?
No, Bologna is the proper way to pronounce bologna. It's just that we've always said it wrong, so maybe he decided to say it right.
Is that how you spell bologna?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I would have thought it was spelled with a Y at the end.
No. I think it's spelled Bologna because that's where it comes from. Mortadella and Bologna are like similar, but they're just slightly different. But yeah, and then we started calling bologna because it was a substitute meat when you were poor. So anything that is not right or fake is bologna because you're substituting real meat with fake meat.
Yeah. Okay.
Actually, I just looked it up. There are actually two words for it. Bologna is probably what Ewan is thinking. And what Doc is saying is also right. It's actually a smoked sausage. I didn't know that.
No, I knew bologna was a smoked sausage. I knew that.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was spelled that
Michigan
way.
Michigan Times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it was spelled that way.
It's B-O-L-O-G-N-A. My bologna has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My bologna has a second name. It's M-A-Y-E-R. Oh, I love to heat it. That's what they say. And if you ask me why, I'll say, because Oscar Mayer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Childhood commercial pimping. That's what it is.
And then the little kid takes the massive bite out of the white bread sandwich that has just a single piece of bologna in it.
Yeah, because that's what we hood rats grew up on.
Mm-hmm.
See, you would think some crazy.
I think that's just the sweetest thing that's ever happened on the Mac Show is listening to you sing a child song.
Yep.
It's a commercial, yo.
No,
okay,
I know.
Look at your text now. It's going to beep in a second and play the video, and then you'll know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. So
it's a very famous 1973 commercial.
So Tim Cook actually said bologna instead of bologna.
Did he?
And bologna is how the South say bologna. And he is Mississippi.
That's all cool. Right. So he's from Mississippi, he says bologna.
Yeah. For the baloney, the word baloney is probably a upper country colloquialism that spread wider because I believe Oscar Mayer is from Pennsylvania or somewhere in that nature. And I really think that's how we started saying it wrong. But the bologna is probably the more correct way to say it.
So Wes is making comments about Tim Cook saying something about sausage. I'm not going there. And Batwitch says, sometimes Doc scares me. Other times I've had enough to drink to cope.
So Batwinch, the trick is just get your alcohol level up to that baseline and then just drink to maintain.
No, because she won't be here for 8 o'clock for the big show, mate. It's a long time to go.
Oh, yeah.
Too much gin if she starts this early. Anyway, we still haven't resolved the fact of whether the iPhone XR is a flop or not. Now, going on the back of that comment, and there is a few more things to pull up as stories, iPhone has cut the XR and production by 10% and the XS as well as, and also they've hacked the XR prices down in China, because Tim did say that there was a bit of a downturn in China for expected renewals.
Oh yeah, the market is
a bit of a downturn. Is like that's an understatement.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It has flopped.
It's down like 40-50% in the last 2 months. So that is crazy.
Yeah. So is this that China doesn't have enough money to spend anymore? Is it the fact that the upgrade to the last iPhone isn't worth it, or is it the fact that the XR is actually a flop, or Apple's catching a cold because they've really gotten to town on prices and people are going, do you know what? Shall we shove it?
It's probably
it's a perfect storm.
It's
a perfect storm, and it's a lot bigger than just Apple. This is the whole smartphone market. If you look at what Samsung's doing with their smartphones and other electronics manufacturers, they're all reporting that their earnings aren't going to be what they expected this quarter. So Apple's the big company with the spotlight on them. So they're getting singled out, which is fine. But this is bigger than just Apple and the iPhone.
Is the tech bubble about to burst again?
Yeah, I mean that's the thing I was trying to make. It's not Apple. It's not even smartphones. It's the entire Chinese market. There are like multiple reasons for it. It's not just trade wars and so on. But the entire market is down. Like everything is crawling to a halt. And the issue is for like almost every manufacturer, the established markets, they're saturated. Like, I mean, definitely, and that's something that I think Tim tried to bury in their release. The interest in other markets is also not growing as fast, or is probably even contracting in some market, probably because of their pricing. So they can't even catch up with that. China or Asia in general is one of the few markets where they can even grow still, because there's still potential there. So if China, which is a massive country, if they have like something happening on a global economy scale, that has a big impact on their growth.
So therein lies the statement of all statements. You've just said that there is a massive opportunity for growth for Apple within the Asian market, and they're 50% down.
Yes, wow. But it's not 50% down on Apple's side on like what they're selling. The entire marketplace is 50% down, like everything, like any product, any all sales are down there. The entire market is collapsing.
I can tell you, so anecdotally, and it's something that I noticed when I was in Japan in October, but at the time I wasn't thinking about, you know, tech per se. I was just like, wow, normally the streets of Osaka and stuff are just like flooded with Chinese tourists, because now they have the money and a little bit of leeway to travel. So they've been going all over. And I noticed it initially in Osaka that the Chinese tourism was down. I noticed it in Kyoto. But then when I returned home here in Waikiki over the Christmas holidays, we had less and less Chinese tourists than what we normally have. So that's the sign that they're having, you know, some economic issues, because normally they're here in droves. And I mean, like massively, right? And I'm sure if you go to like London, you would even notice that there's a drop in Chinese tourism. So when they have been the growing market for everything from blue jeans to sunglasses, you know, all the streetwear brand names, those guys suffer more because they don't have the deep pockets at Apple. And some of the largest streetwear brands are like running into issues right now, including your Nikes and Adidas. Mm-hmm. So it's not just tech. Like if things don't come to bear soon, there will be a global economic blip. Let's call it a blip. I don't want to call it a meltdown, because I'm not ready for that. Let's just call it a blip.
It already has an impact, and it might, the impact might grow. The other thing that, that I heard and that I think makes sense is if you look at especially China and look at the smartphone market, the S years are less popular there. For obvious reasons. Like we saw that with the 7S, the 6S, and now we're seeing it with the 10S. I mean, we talk about that. There is less of a reason to upgrade from the big jump, the 10, the 6, the 7, to the S versions. So where like Apple was very successful with the 10 last year, also in China, this year there's simply no reason to upgrade for them. So in addition to all the market things and economy things, that's the other part. But that is something that Apple should have expected, because that is not new. So I'm a little bit concerned about Apple not seeing this. I mean, when they released their last prediction for this last quarter, they were already 1 month into the quarter. Like that was at the end of October or beginning of November. So they had already 1 month of data, and they still didn't see that this is going to happen. And that is, for a company that is supposedly very good at like reading markets, that is a concern.
There's a comment here from Windrider in the chat room. He says, I hear stories of Chinese tech companies fining employees who own iPhones.
Yeah, I don't believe that.
That does seem a little bit strange. I'm not sure how they'd manage to do that, but yeah. And Muller's put in here, the inflexibility of phones too, and unfixability of phones, if that's a word, and the batteries glued in effect.
Mm. I don't think that's the problem.
It's reparability.
Yeah, I don't think that is the problem. I mean, I think that's the other piece that Apple tried to hide a little bit. I'm pretty sure that the battery program has a lot to do with the other markets not growing. I think a lot of people were used to upgrade their iPhones just because the battery was not working as well anymore, and they didn't know why the phone just didn't work. They would just upgrade, and now with the cheap upgrade program, there's no reason for them to do that.
I've got a bit of a problem. So I had this in my top pocket on Saturday, and I got hit with a rugby ball in the chest. Turned around, and it struck me in the chest. And there's my current iPhone.
Ooh.
It still works. There's no issue with it. It works just fine. Other than the fact it's got a cracked screen. So watching a video is a bit of a pain in the arse, and it's not very pleasant. So I rang Darren Griffin, the Mac fixer, who's the guy that most BTNers should turn to if they've got any issues with Mac, and said, could you get me a new one? And he said, I'd love to, but whilst the screens are dead easy to change, it's the calibration that's a problem, and Apple haven't released the software on how to do that to third-party sellers or third-party repair people. And I just thought, if I take that to an Apple store, and there was an interesting video about a guy who had a very simple fault on a MacBook that was deliberately set up, taken to a Mac, to a store. The water labels inside had turned red, so therefore they said, we need to check it all over for water because there's the water things, all of those components have got to be changed. And the guy got a bill for like $1,800 to change over this computer that only had one lead that had come out of a socket. And there is a movement, a political movement, about forcing tech companies to allow repairability of their devices. And I've got to say, that's where I think there really is a political push towards making people make things repairable. But I think that's a valid argument, is it not? Because the thing that bothers me about taking that is I take it in and Apple go, oh, well, there's a shock sensor that's gone blue. Therefore, we're going to have to change every other thing in there. It's £1,200 for a new one. Thank you very much.
And no, there's like, a yes and no to that, Ewan.
Okay, go on.
So as a person who's actually stood in the Genius Bar, I get really pissed when I see these dumb stories where people set things up, roll into the Genius Bar, and then have something happen and they freak out. So here's something that has changed over the course since I left and now, and James could probably back me up. In the past, most of the guys at your Genius Bar were somewhere Apple trained from the gate. That's all they know. Other guys had previous tech background. The guys that had the previous tech background, they didn't read things in the book per letter. You know, they would take that as a guideline and then they make an executive decision. And that is the company's guideline. The company's guideline is do what's ever best for the customer at any cost. Right. So what happens is sometimes you happen to roll up on the guy who just got this job, who doesn't really have the experience to know more than what he's learned in the book. He doesn't have the field experience yet. Same thing would happen if you rolled up on a resident versus a fully, you know, tenured doctor. So sometimes, instead of just losing it, depending on where you are, ask to speak to another person. The same thing you would do with your car, or the same thing you do with your health, or ask to speak to the lead genius, because that person probably knows better. And I've had it happen to me where one of the geniuses told me that I couldn't change the SSID on my Apple Extreme. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Perhaps.
And he's like, no, like, this is the SSID code and you can't change it. I was like, okay, dude, I'm not going to argue with you, but turn around and ask every other genius in the bar who built this genius bar. And they're like, oh, doc, hey, how's it going? Blah, blah, blah. And then the kid like, oh, my, well, that's what I had read. I was like, well, you got it wrong, and I'm not going to piss you, but study this, because what you just said is absolutely insane. And it happens. So it's probably a little both. Like, there may be some guidance, but a lot of people aren't going to stick to that guidance because they're people, and people do say dumb sometimes.
Yeah. On the topic of repairability, like, I'm usually torn a little bit, so I follow Doc's yes and no. Like, on one hand, I can understand manufacturers, like, I mean, if we want smaller and smaller and thinner and lighter devices, something has to give. And I understand the manufacturers if they're doing that. On the other hand, I also understand, like, especially the, like, long-term third-party market, and especially with Apple saying the devices should last longer now, and, like, that's what people expect. You have to somehow allow that to happen. Like, somehow you have to make sure that the device can be repaired in 5 years, or even in some cases in 10 years. I've repaired like 15-year-old MacBooks, or it wasn't MacBook, it was an iBook or something. One of the very early devices. I've repaired those. And you should be able to do that still. And if you can't for whatever reason, then that is clearly a problem. Like, if nothing is wrong with the device other than, I don't know, the battery is dead, or like a small thing that like, is easy to fix and you can't because of the way it was manufactured, that is clearly a problem.
Yeah, my mind's just kind of a little bit that you know, if they said to me, okay, well, we've opened it up and two of the shock sensors are gone. Well, how the hell did you think the screen broke otherwise? But the shock sensor doesn't mean that anything's broken. It just means that there was an impact and I'm hiding the screen just cracked by itself. No, it didn't. There's a shock sensor gone. That's what the shock sensor's for. It's not when I've got a big frigging crack across the front and I come in with a story that says I got hit by a rugby ball in the chest and it cracked it. Mm. You know, I've owned up.
Yeah.
But on that story, it wasn't a shock sensor. It was the liquid sensor. And that is a different story. Like, if there's
they turn kind under of humidity, humidity though.
Then, I mean, that's, I mean, you have to understand the I mean, Apple and also the geniuses there. They take responsibility. Like, if they repair it and then you come back because something else broke, then it's on them. So
yeah, but it comes with a 90-day warranty after the repair. Yeah, also, the liquid sensor, well, I guess it depends on the phone, because a liquid sensor nowadays, I wash my phone. Like, I use my phone in the workshop. I get crud all over it. I literally turn on the water on low and I put it under the sink and I wash my phone. It's designed now to be able to handle that. So it wasn't just a splash. If the liquid sensor is red on anything past the 6S or 6, it was soaking in water. It wasn't just splashed.
Yeah. Yeah, like submerged for a significant amount of time.
Yeah. So the people that set that story, you got to also know, dude, there's people out there trying to set these things. I saw a Canadian one on a Canadian news channel, and the guy bent over backwards to make it bad to go in to have the genius bar tell him no so that he could spin a tissy fit. If I could find a video, you would crack up. And then he said, oh, they were secretly charging him all of this money for all of these extra parts and all this other stuff. And I was like, dude, you set the story up in a way that was the outcome. Like, it's super stupid. So for clickbait reasons, it's a great story if people are trying to get it. Apple repair policies are a little tight. You know, we're going to give you that. We're not going to say that they're the best. But anecdotally, I just recently took the car in for service and the guy told me I needed to change the drive belts and it was going to be $1,600. And I kind of flipped a nugget because in my younger days, I would roll out and I would fix it myself. But to take all of the mounts and engine stuff off of the BMW now to get in there to change basically, you know, $40 worth of belts cost $1,600 is because the things that they've had to do to make the car safer and faster and more fuel efficient and run water off of an aluminum block and all this other stuff, I can't get in there and do it anymore. So it's the same thing. Most of the people in the world, except us, everybody that's not a nerd, they don't even know how to take a computer apart anymore. It's not a thing. So in order to be get is big enough for us to sit around and have an hour and a half long show every week about tech, for the tech to get that big, it had to get that stupid, which means normal folks can't fix it.
And I think most people don't care that they can't fix it.
Thank you. We're crying to bite off our own hand. Like, we got tech big enough where we can sit around and take the piss out of it every week for an hour and a half and then have about 50,000 people watch it. But if it was the tech that we grew up with, where you could screwdriver enough, you were lucky to get five dudes that knew what you were talking about.
That's
yeah. True.
Like, I can tell you, like, when I did support at my university for Macs and I would, like, prepare them, I was the only one who could even do that. Like, the other guys had no clue. They could do a little bit of software. That was it. So even then, and that was like mid-2000s, even then, there were very, very few people who could, like, even do that.
Deke Ban says, have you even looked under the bonnet of a modern car? You can't see the engine anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. My car is covered with a giant shroud that says BMW. Open it and I'll break your face.
Yeah. Or try that with your electric car. Like, try even to get to the motor.
Yeah. Bonnet. Everyone get bonnet? Good.
Yes.
Good. Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Good. Glad we got that. Because the 50,000 people that listen to this, some of them might be American.
Yeah. In the booth.
Apparently. Great audience. Fantastic audience. Thank you to those 50,000 people that are listening.
We love every one of you.
Yeah. We'll send you a Christmas card next year, promise. Positive story. Apple are adding the late 2012 iMacs to the vintage and obsolete products list.
Is that a positive story?
Well, I think it is. I think that is, because you're talking about 6 years ago.
Yeah. But I mean,
six and a half.
A non-story, honestly.
It used to be five.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, that's quite impressive. Yeah. And the fact is that the 2012 stuff will soon still run Mojave, won't it? 2011 is the only year that cut off. So,
oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so 2012 stuff, that's, this stuff is stuff that's still running Mojave, and they're only just cutting it off from the obsolete program.
Yeah.
Now,
which
what
means that you will not be able to, like, get repairs for it, and I think parts as long as they last. As
well,
as they
now let's just qualify not being able to get repairs, though, steady on. Because
not from Apple.
You won't get repairs from Apple. And here's an issue, because one of our listeners has written to me this week, and we've had a bit of a chat about how to upgrade, because the SSD in their iMac is going. And it's the one with the separate drive. So it's the SSD with
The Fusion drive Fusions setup.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the SSD has had enough writes, and it's about to crap out. And this person has taken it to a third-party repair place and said, what can you do? And they said, yeah, it's about to go. It's about to fail. I wouldn't trust any data on it. I'd get it backed up as fast as you can. And he said, okay, can you replace it? No, we can't touch it. Why can't you touch it? Because it's in the obsolete list, because it's a 2011 iMac. It's on the obsolete list. So therefore, as an authorized reseller, we can't touch it. And he's like, but I want you to just, put me a new one in. That's all. So there's nothing else wrong but this drive. Just swap the drive out, put a new one in. That's it. Yeah, no, we're not allowed to do that because it's on the obsolete list. We can't touch it because it's on the obsolete list because we're an authorized Apple reseller. So
that seems kind of crazy.
So that he could take all it is, and it's the 21.5-inch, the thick one, you know, the one that's dead easy where you just suck the screen off the
glass
front.
Off. Yeah.
I've done it myself on the one that's on the wall over here. It's an easy fix. I'm not going to say repair. I'll call it an upgrade, shall we? You know, I take out a failing drive and I put a new drive in. I can't see why Apple is restricting them doing that. That makes no sense to me. That does smack of some kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Corporate bullshit. There's the word. Two words. That just doesn't seem right. You know, and this there's nothing wrong with this computer. So anyway, they're coming by the office next week. And I said, buy the drive. Come here. I'll switch it for you. Because, I mean, I'm crap. I'm no good at tech stuff. But I can watch an iFixit video, which is what I did with mine, and I swapped the drives over. So I'm sure I can manage with this thing. If it goes horribly wrong, I've got indemnity. That's not a problem. But
so here's why they do that. From an ex-genius. On older kit, the thin ribbons where you have to take a spudger and you lift up the thing and you pull the ribbon out, sometimes through heat, once you lift the thing that releases the thin ribbon cable, when you go to pull it out because of the heat, it has slightly attached itself to the board. And you go to pull it out, you basically pull the sheathing off the ribbon, and now the thing no longer works. So you can be changing a 50 quid hard drive, because you can buy a 1 terabyte hard drive for $50 right now, and actually damage the logic board because it has sat and run hot for 5 years, and a lot of things are just kind of married themselves into place, and you don't want to go around and mess with that. And so the thing is, when you come in and change the hard drive, and we tell them, okay, this is an older model, and I can go in and change this, but there is likely that adding a new thing with a new power suction is going to cause havoc to the power supply and the older equipment, or we might break something in a part we can no longer get. But are you still cool with it? You want me to try it? And we would make them sign off, and they would say yes. And this went on for about 3 years of my career. But too many people went back and goes, no, you guys broke it. And it's like, we warned you, and you signed the paper that said fixing an old thing might break. And they cut the policy in like 2008 because Americans, not you guys, Americans. You let us litigious pricks do something and it doesn't work their way, they go, we're going to sue you.
You're not hearing an argument from that angle.
No.
We screwed it up for everybody. I'm not even going to lie, because I've had it happen to me. I literally had it happen to me, and I got a call from the bat phone because a lady dropped her computer. It fell down the steps, dented all four corners. And we told her that because of the drop, that she had a PowerBook 12 inch, right? It was already like 7 years old. And we told her that, you know, use your backup. We'll get the data. We'll move it to the new computer for you guys. She didn't want that. She wanted us to replace it. So I got it working. Everything was fine. And I told her, listen, lady, because of this, the age of this computer, you must always keep this drive backed up. Never not back it up, because it got jostled around. It seems to be working, but I wouldn't guarantee it. She comes in literally 6 weeks later. Oh, my God, I lost all of the data after you guys put in the drive and blah, blah, blah. I go, your husband bought the backup drive that day. Where's your backup? And she goes, I didn't back it up. And the husband's sitting back there shaking his head. But she turned around and tried to sue me because it's my fault that I changed the drive in her 7-year-old 2012 PowerBook.
Right. Okay. So that's a great story. And it's like a Grimm's fairy tale moral. Well done, mate. However, that's not what I'm talking about.
No.
I'm talking about a third party authorized reseller, a separate business entirely for Apple, only as about to say that we are authorized to do Apple.
If you're authorized, you're still Apple, though. You're speaking for Apple.
No, you're not. Mm-mm. Don't have that. Sorry, I'm not having that.
You're not, and then I would say it's a stupid policy. Like, you can leave it up to the company to decide, like, do we accept the risk?
Yes.
Or don't we?
I bet you that's the actual answer. Actually, you know what? We'll ask Jerome, because he's authorized, or ask Steve, he's authorized. I bet you they can take the risk, but that company probably didn't want to take the risk. I bet you they have the leeway.
I bet you they don't.
Steve is an ACN. Jerome is an ACN. Let's ask either one of them.
Right. Do that. Send that. Wake Jerome up. He's been up all night with his baby, but wake him up anyway.
It's almost 10 in the morning here.
Oh, that's
Steve
okay.
And I live like an hour away from each other. So he's awake.
Are we talking Steve Sandy?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, don't ring Steve Sandy, because then he'll go, why aren't I on the show? And we'll have to say, well, we had a choice between you and James Rickards, and we picked the bloke who let us down at the last minute instead. Sorry.
If I'm an Apple authorized place and they brought it to me, I would fix it, because the first thing I tell anybody with an iMac is stick an external drive on with a piece of Velcro and boot it.
Wrong answer.
Like the computer I'm talking on right now, this computer has an external drive on a 3D printed kit that I stuck on the back, and it's booted from external.
I know that's a solution, and you know that's a solution to get round of a problem, but we're not talking about the solution. We're talking about the corporate policy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a corporate policy.
And if that's a corporate, I'll be happily wrong. Don't get me wrong. No, I'm wrong most weeks. But if that's a corporate policy that third party sellers can't have a sideline repair business that says, well, you know, tough shit, if it goes, it goes, it's nothing to do with us, and don't look back at Apple, then I think that's wrong. Just plain and simple wrong. That was a positive story as well.
Man, I can't wait till we get to the really negative story.
Right. So am I, now here's the thing. Am I imagining it? Because it's been a couple of weeks and I have been working hard. Am I imagining that smart TVs are coming with AirPlay 2 already enabled in them?
You are not imagining.
So nope. Tell me about that story, because I've seen the AirPlay 2 enabled TVs, and also Apple saying that they're committed to Roku.
Yeah, so the televisions, in addition to AirPlay 2 built in, are going to have HomeKit support. So you can use the S-Lady to turn on the television, change channels, stuff like that. And adding in AirPlay 2, I think, is just another step in Apple's big plan to have a very big, very real, and very serious entertainment services business.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, competing directly with Amazon Prime, Netflix, Hulu, HBO Go, stuff like that. And yep. And I think that's where the whole adding in A-Lady support for Apple Music comes in, the Roku stuff that Apple is doing. Apple wants to be a big player in that space, and this is all part of that.
Do you know what strikes me here? And this is an interesting point that I'm about to make. This smacks, because you saw the kind of stalwart stonewall of no, we're not doing any of that. It's a sealed universe. We're not going outside. We're not integrating with anyone else. It's closed loop. Security goes up as a result, which it does. So that's a fair point. But this feels like a change in leadership somewhere. It's like Tim wasn't controlling it. It was someone below Tim who was controlling this. And that person's been ousted, and a new person's coming and going, what the hell are we doing? We need to be in every possible platform we possibly can to make sure that HomeKit's got viability for mass use, and also that that Apple Music is available to everyone who wants it on any device. That's what it feels like.
Yeah, I have an alternative, theory for that.
You and you're wrong.
You might be right. I mean, I don't think so, but you might be right. We don't know simply, but I think the I have a feeling that this is due to the TV and movie business. That look at it. We have Netflix. We have Hulu. Like a lot of CBS has CBS All Access. Disney has their own thing. Like we have a lot already. And I have a feeling that especially after the whole iTunes taking over the world topic, that the movie industry and TV industry simply does not want Apple to enter in this business. So in order for Apple to do anything, they have to do their own content and they have to be on all platforms. Otherwise, they're doomed because nobody is going to use them if they're Apple only and if they only have their own stuff. Like that's too limited of a market and too limited of anything to make it worth their while and worth the investment.
So what we're saying is Samsung, LG, Vizio, and Sony are making the Apple TV.
Yeah, yes, more or less. That's exactly right.
I mean,
thank you, Winrider, for pointing that out. Gene Munster was right. There is an Apple television coming.
It just doesn't have an Apple logo on it.
Yeah. What's interesting is the only one who has iTunes is Samsung, but Samsung doesn't have HomeKit. The others have AirPlay and HomeKit. So it's kind of a little bit of a mess. I'm guessing there was some deal made with Samsung somehow that they are exclusive for a little while. But as I said, it's kind of confusing. Like some TVs have HomeKit, others some of them have HomeKit and AirPlay, and then the Samsung ones have iTunes and AirPlay, but no HomeKit.
Yeah. Like,
try explaining that to anybody.
I think the lesson in the model is the fact that you've got Netflix, who are the top grossing application in the App Store, and they haven't got a box. So if you want to make a shitload of money, make good content and make it freely available. Don't get yourself in a walled garden.
And it's kind of the same thing as iTunes on Windows, like back in the day. Like you have, if you want like major share on in the market and you want to take it over, ideally, you have to do that. There is no other way. You have to go where people are. And not everybody is going to buy an Apple TV box. Like most people will just use whatever their TV comes with.
Yeah.
And the software is getting better. Like that's the other part. Like there's less of a need for a standalone box.
Yeah, Apple's just got to get... I mean, I think there is an awakening that Apple's realized it's got to get its content out there somehow, because at the moment, if it keeps it in the Apple universe, no one's going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay.
Ewan?
Yeah?
I found at least 3 Apple-authorized computer services. This one I'm reading right now comes from Vegas. And the other big one is we didn't even think about. Shreve Computer Systems used to be in the back of every printed magazine. Even they say the same thing. We go beyond services provided by Apple Genius and other authorized service places such as data repair, upgrades, and hardware support for obsolete Macs and computers, installation of third-party software, liquor spills, component-level repair, and severe physical damages. And this is from a 2018 premium service provider. So that place decided they didn't want to do it. It's not Apple's policy.
Right. Thank you for clarifying, mate. I love liquor spills. That just has so many connotations, doesn't it? Yeah.
I said liquid. Did I say liquor?
You said liquor, yeah. Which makes it even funnier because the fact that it's 5 a.m. there and you've got liquor on your mind. And a bottle Chivas of Chivas on hand. Have you started that this morning?
Is it Chivas or Chivas?
It depends on how much money you make.
Dumbass.
Bologna.
Bologna, dumbass, Bologna. Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Oh, I can't believe that.
Doc, the only time I had a liquid damage spill with any of my Apple gear, it actually was alcohol.
The only one I had actually came from listening to this group. One day I was watching the Big Show and I was drinking coffee and somebody said something stupid. It may have been Jeff. And I went probably and I threw coffee all over my 2012 MacBook Pro. And it had something to do with one of these like iPod connected vibrations.
Oh, it was me.
Right.
Was this the iTouch?
Was this the CES thing?
Something like that. It was an iTouch I forgot what it was, but Jeff said something. I was watching the show and I spit coffee all over my computer.
You've noticed Jeff is not in Vegas.
He's probably been banned.
Because he was there with Mac Observer last year and now he's changed jobs. That's the downside. He doesn't get to go to Vegas for CES. But Jeff's report from CES on the Big Show, live on the show floor last year, around this week, is gold. It is BTN gold. You have to go back. All the shows are there, and all the shows are there thanks to TSO Hosts, because they're absolutely superb. TSOhosts.com. We can store all of our stuff, and we can go all the way back, and you can see it. And if you get onto our Big Show link, /big, and then start scrolling back through the shows, you'll see the CES show there, and you've got to watch Jeff's live report because it is absolute comedy gold. And it wouldn't happen without TSO Hosts. It was huge, mate. It was massive. There was people in here who were struggling for breath. It was great. People saying that they were crashing the cars and all sorts, and spraying their computers, as Doc says, with alcohol.
I always wondered, like, as Jeff moves up the ladder at Smile, like what the connotation of a company called Smile would be after Jeff becomes in
cheeky grin.
Well, I guess we'll see.
Jeff, who is going to let Jeff Gamet run an entire company?
That's a really good question.
The office parties would be legendary, however.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
they do. Well, Smile used to throw the best parties at Macworld.
We have to create our own company, Jeff, I think.
I'm getting kudos in the chat room for the segue to TSO Host, and I haven't even... there you go. Let's put the logo up. That'll do. There's TSO Host, you see? They're brilliant. They're awesome. I don't know why I'm pointing at it, because it's full screen, and I'm not there anymore.
Ewan, on the whole CES thing and my ability to find the interesting products, even though I'm not at CES this year, Here's a teaser for everyone. My story for the big show today does involve CES.
Okay. So you see the big show in another 3 hours after we've had beer and curry.
That's called the segue.
Yeah. On the Skype to TSO host, thank you so much for them supporting us. What we need from you is brand recognition. They're not asking you to buy all the stuff that you can from them, although you can do, and you can get 20% off your basket. BTN20 is your offer code. But they would love you, please, just to give them recognition of their support to BTN on social media. That is it. So, you know, you drive and you go, no, I can't remember how to do stuff for TSO host. You don't have to. Just go in and say, at TSO host, thanks for supporting at British Tech. Go on Twitter. Say it on Facebook. Find their representation in Instagram. And give them the brand recognition for their support. That's all they're asking from you. So please, please, please make sure everyone does that this week. That would make a massive difference, because it's great that we've got this thing and you can go back a year and look at a show that happened a year ago, but we wouldn't have that without these people. We wouldn't exist without these people, plain and simple. So you've got to give them support. Please, please, please make sure you do that. Thanks also to Wirecast, who give us the software for running the green screen here. That's superb. Wirecast and Telestream have been a real kind supporter of the network over a very long period of time. And they've had 4 iterations now of upgrades, so from version 8 up to, I think, version 12 now. And they're all included in your payment. So if you bought version 8, you can still be at version 12. It's all inclusive. So well done for them for their longevity as well. And thanks to Hoyer. As I said to you, I had my custom-made glasses, except they were made for a fat bloke, not me. And these didn't fit me anymore, so I had to send them back. They were too low on my nose, and the prescription was wrong because of it. And thanks to Mark at Hoyer, who's corrected all of these for me and sent them back. They're nice and tight on my face now, which they weren't before. And I put this out in the Slack room today. In all my years of wearing glasses, since I was 40 years old, when I've not had a pair of glasses, I've never missed them before. And I've had a great pair of glasses, don't get me wrong, because I've got me Dragon frames, which I love. But those came back this morning. I couldn't wait to put them back on. I adore these glasses. So make sure you get in touch with Mark up at podcast@hoyer.co.uk, and he'll sort you out with the user experience to get yourself a set of Unikus, because they are well worth it. They are brilliant. I said version, not virgin. That one. Thank you. There's no such thing as 8 virgins in Birmingham. Jesus.
Well, what if they're visiting?
Oh, they could be visiting. Good point. One from each city in the Midlands. Right. It's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
All right. So my thing is kind of simple, but it's kind of handy. And how I came upon this is I was listening to my buddy James's Udemy course, and it's pretty awesome. But the audio level
Udemy course is awesome.
Crap.
So let's just clarify. We aren't saying James's Udemy course is brilliant.
Yeah, but the audio level is super messed up. But I just had an easy fix for him without him having to know how to do that stuff. Like you and I, we know how to do that. We've been doing this forever. But this is great for anyone that has to produce anything. Or even just you got a piece of audio and you want to fix it and you don't know how to do anything. Let's say you don't know about compressors and, you know, normalization, or a podcast should be at negative 16 LUFS. If you don't know what that means, you don't have to. You take your audio file or even your video file with audio and you upload it to Allphonic.com. Okay. And they have some automatic, like artificial intelligence, and it will do the leveling. It'll do the normalization. If you say this is a podcast, it will pull it up to negative 16 LUFS as it should be. If you say that you're going to broadcast this on Netflix, you need a negative 23.78 LUF. It knows that. Like, it'll put it where it needs to go according to the, you know, every broadcaster has specs. So if you're making a TV commercial and your guy says, hey, we need this to come in at negative 18 LUFS, cool, throw it up there, tell it that's what you're making, it'll fix it for you. It's super simple. It even does speech recognition and transcripts, you know. It will encode in Ogg Vorbis, ALAC, FLAC, MP3. It'll do with anything you want, and it will fix it. Because it is a great course, but I swear I can't hear, and I'm not that old. Well, okay, never mind. Anyway, this is a awesome tool, and I dare anyone to try it. Like, even if you're a seasoned sound guy like myself, I've gotten lazy and I throw this up here and it comes out almost exactly the way I would do it, but it's better than when I do it manually. It's quite incredible. Cool part is 2 hours of processing a month is free. If you need more than that, it's like $9 and you can go nuts. It is incredible. By 2 hours, everyone should try it.
Of processing, is that the length of the audio that you're processing, or is that the time it takes it to process it? I'm guessing it's the length of the audio.
It's the length of the audio.
That's not very long.
If you do have a premium guy, it processes it faster, but it's still quick. And one thing you can do, if you're sporadic, you can put in like a kitty, like a kid's allowance, right? So say you throw 18 pounds at it, that covers 10 hours, and you just use the 10 hours whenever you use the 10 hours.
So you can have a pay-as-you-go card.
Yeah. So you can do either
that's
one.
How
you
I
can do the monthly.
Phonic.
What'd you say, Jeffy?
That's how I'm using Phonic. Just load up the card, so to speak, and when I get low on hours left, throw some more money back into it and call it good.
Yeah, now here's a cool part, and Jeff probably already knows this. If you are a podcaster, it formulates everything. So that means your pictures, you know how Adam would go in and make his all sweet where you have all of the chapters and all of that? It could do everything for you. So you can set a template and say, this is my BTN weekly audio template. I need it to look like this every time with the exception of the description. And then every time you upload it, then you just upload the file, give it a show title, press go have a shivis, comes back, it's perfect.
Awesome.
Yep. Pop
check out the before and afters on the site. It will blow
your
podcast
mind. Server. It does. I mean, it does it all. It's awesome.
It's amazing. For the price, I thought these guys were taking like my personal information and selling it to the Hamptons. Like, I don't know, but these guys, it's way too cheap for what it does.
Cool. Good pick, mate. Like that. Fair enough.
I have to try that.
Jeffrey, what have you got for us, mate?
I have an app called Linea Link, and here's the deal. Linea is an art drawing painting app on the iPad, and so there's now a companion app for it called Linea Link that goes onto your Mac. So you can take everything you're working on your iPad and have it transfer over to your Mac and even have it just open directly in Photoshop or Affinity Photo or whatever app you want to use to work on the file. And so if you have layers in your Linea files, those layers are intact. And this is like so cool because you can sit there and use your iPad like a graphic tablet, and then just immediately have whatever you're working on your Mac so that you can do whatever final touches need to happen. And it's like $4 or $5 for this app. And it's just drop dead simple. You launch it and now you're seeing all the Linea files on your iPad in a window. Pick what you want, move it over, and you're good. It's really slick.
Excellent, Mike.
Wow. This is from Huckenberry and Gideon guys, yeah?
Yeah, and they created Linea. And this has become my go-to drawing program. I no longer use Paper by 53. They, sadly, they really screwed over their users when the company was sold. So Linea, it's the bomb, Linea Link. It's a beautiful thing.
Cool. Jeff had a soundtrack too.
Yeah, that's my pick. I'll come back to that in a minute.
Yeah, I'm about to start seeing Bruno Mars in a second.
which actually really bolsters my cool thing, mate. But anyway,
oh, great.
It's Patrice's turn. Off you go, mate.
Okay. I forgot to pick something, so I had to come up with something very, very quickly. I have an audiobook that I listened to like over Christmas, and that was really long and really good. And that is Michelle Obama's, I think it's called Becoming. It is like, it's very interesting, to, especially nowadays with the like political climate that we're in, to see like how she grew up and then also like how she got to know her husband, President Obama, and then like all the craziness that happened after that, and like how it was to live in the White House and all of that. It's basically, it starts at like when she grew up, how she grew up, and then to like, I think to the point after the inauguration of Trump. So it's a very good book. It's, I think it was 17 hours or something. It's a long book, but it's very entertaining, very well written, and she reads it herself and it's flawless. So I don't know how much time she spent on that, because I know it's very hard to do that and to do that properly. Not everybody can even do it.
19 hours so, of reading.
Yeah, wow.
It is she didn't awesome. Do that on one day. I'm not having that.
No, you're not going to do that in one day.
She's Superwoman, but that's crazy.
It is a great book.
And the best story in the book is her and the daughter sneaking out of the White House, or attempting to.
Yeah.
No, they got caught. Did, like, she told that story on, what was it on? It wasn't Comedians with Cars, or was it Comedian with Cars and Obama told it?
Could be, yeah.
That was him and what's that guy, Seinfeld
driving around the grounds,
trying to drive the Corvette. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I heard it, the Michelle Obama one in the book. It's a great book. It's really good. I'm not finished yet, but it's awesome.
And it's less about her husband. I mean, she mentions him here and there and how, like how he was and like also how he is a person, but it's really more about her and her life and like the things she did and what was important to her, especially when they moved into the White House and how she dealt with all of that craziness. And how she tried to keep like everything somewhat sane, and so it's, as I said, it's not a book about like Barack Obama. It's more about really her and her life, and I really appreciated it. That it's there are some areas where it might get political, but she said and the funny thing is at the end of the book, like I was thinking, she should run for president, and she was like, no, I'm never gonna do that. I'm not the person for that.
So she actually answered your question as you were thinking it. That's
at
cool.
At the end, like last thing that she said, it was like, no, I'm like, I have no aspirations. I never wanted to be in like in that sector at all.
Well, she's seen like, all the shit her husband put up with as well. So there's
She's like, and she was against him even running and all of that. Like, or at least at first. So it's a good book. Like, I don't want to give anything away, but I mean, some things, you know, like, it's not surprising.
Cool. No, it's a good pick, mate. I like that. I like that loads. My cool thing is Ultimate Circle of Fifths. And you're thinking it's like a quest game or something like that. No, it's not. It's a music.
No, it's music.
Music. So if you listen to any songs, your chances are that they're based on just a progression of fifth chords throughout the whole thing. And four chords that are fifth apart will probably make most songs. So what this is a program that gives you an identity of what chords to hit in any kind of progression of fifths. So you can hear there already that if you just repeat a few of these, there you go. And you can change the key that you're in. And you can change for chorus changes as well. So you can do progressions modulations, so that you can do a chorus. It's absolutely brilliant. And you just sit there, put it down in front of you on the piano, on the iPad or on your iPhone, just hit something. And then when you see it play a C, you go, right, okay, I'm going to play C. And then you look at all of the other progressions that there are from that in fifths. And it just means that you can sit there and mess around with chord structures and stuff like that and come up with a song. It's fantastic. I love it to bits.
That's really cool.
It is really cool. Ultimate Circle of Fifths, $3.99 in the App Store. If you're in America, it's $3.99. And if in the UK, the thieving bastards still charge you £3.99, even though the pound's recovered a little bit. Git. Cool. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the internets at DOCROCK on the solid.fm is the site in the podcast. And yeah, that's it. That's cool.
Excellent, Mike.
I'm doing a bunch of YouTube lives recently about teaching some Adobe stuff. So if you see it pop up on Twitter, join in.
There's a creator notice from YouTube came out today, wasn't there, about not posting stuff on social media? Yeah.
Yeah.
Gits. Jeff, where would you be?
I'm over at textexpander.com and smilesoftware.com because, hey, I'm part of Smile. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram, Jay Gamut, both places. I'm easy to find. Just Google me. I'm everywhere.
Excellent, mate. Are you still doing as many podcasts?
Not right now because, you know, I had a daily show at Mac Observer and I'm not there anymore. So I don't have a daily show, but, I have some ideas for some shows that I want to get going, this year. So
mate, you should totally do a Text Expander podcast. Cause I would use it far more if I had a clue how to use
it. Oh yes.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
yeah. I'm in. We'll do it.
3 year old.
We'll do a Dumbo podcast where like you just have us on and you explain, as long as you know how to use it, of course yourself, but, where you just explain to us how to use it and get more from it. That'd be awesome.
It's funny you should say that.
Yes, I'm in. There you go. You don't have to ask. There's that awkward moment gone.
Yep. Awesome. I definitely have plans for a Text Expander podcast.
Well, Paul Wheatley used to be absolutely evangelical about Text Expander, but what he showed me how to do with it looked so cool, but I never knew where to start. I just couldn't. It was like, I need to sit down and devote some time to learn how to do it, which I haven't got. So I'd rather someone led me by the hand. That'd be perfect.
I am happy to lead you by the hand.
I am in. Definitely.
It is awesome.
And lastly, Patrice, where would you be, mate?
Well, right now in like the innards of a lot of servers, but no, just joking. I'm actually working on a lot of server stuff. But yeah, everything I do on thepatrice.com, as always.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name is Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. We can follow the network at British Tech as well. Please give recognition to TSO Host and Telestream for supporting the network. That would be really, really cool. We're going to be back again next Friday as normal with the Mac Show at 4 p.m. and the Big Show at 8 p.m. And tonight we've got Big Show at 8 p.m. as well. And we've got a full old panel as well. So it should be a really good discussion about all the shiz that's gone off at CES. Attlee may or may not be coming. But the reason he may or not be coming is because he was in the ER room till early in the hours of local time because he busted his arm. So if he does come...
Oh, no.
If he does come, we're all going to be seeing how many times we can fit the word break into sentences.
I am so in.
I did tell him that as well. He went, oh, thanks for the sympathy. I'm like, you should have thought about that, mate, because there's no way you're getting sympathy.
Yeah.
Not from this group.
Attlee, break a leg, mate, tonight. We'll see you all next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.